Well, once again, good morning. Yes, thank you. I pray everyone is doing well. That's my prayer. When I was getting up this morning and working, going over my message for today, I said, I pray everybody is doing well and that you are actually finding ways to stay encouraged, inspired, motivated, and on point. Because that's what we need in these days ahead. The other day, I was really moved to tears. And I continue to do so every time I see and I hear excerpts from Senator Cory Booker's historic speech as he engaged in a filibuster on the Senate floor. And there were, you know, and it's just, I don't know why, but the moment I hear it or I on YouTube or whatever and I'm watching experts, I just start crying. And I'm not easily, you know, a crier, but something about that activity, that commitment, those words that he spoke and the energy that he put forth touches me so deeply that I know it was an anointed experience. The fact that I can still feel it after the event has occurred is sort of like when I hear Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech from the beginning. Something, every time I hear it, it moves me. So there are things, there are opportunities, there are words, there are experiences that are anointed that have the ability to touch our hearts whenever we engage with that experience. I'm thinking, this was an historic speech and an opportunity, but this man stood. He stood and he spoke. And let me tell you, I'm a speaker and a preacher and a teacher. I'm tired after 20 or 25 minutes of speaking. I have to go home and go to bed. He stood and he spoke for an historic 25 hours, and some say 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, it doesn't matter, for 25 hours, speaking on and for justice, speaking for right actions, for spiritual and moral laws and principles to be enacted for this great nation, for all of America's people, not just for some, but for everybody. And what was amazing was that he also broke a record held by Strom Thurmond, who spoke on the Senate floor in a filibuster for 24 hours, but it was against the Civil Rights Acts of 1957. Against justice, against community, against people having the decency to have a life filled with, you know, peace and food and shelter and clothing and an opportunity to express their gifts and to share their gifts through jobs and creativity. All spoke all against that, only for some. And so for this wonderful soul to come and to speak for the opposite, for everybody, I said, ooh, my goodness, Cory Booker was standing on business. He was standing on business, literally and figuratively. Literally, standing on business, right? For the good of this nation. He was purposeful. He was on point. And he was prepared. He was prepared. Listen, he fasted. This is what I find amazing. He fasted for several days before taking that floor. Now, when I fast, I get weak and I'm like thinking of something good to eat, lobster and whatever. This man fasted before taking the floor. And he fasted so that his body would be clear and that there would be nothing. This is his reason of why he fasted, that there would be nothing to get in his way physically, because this was going to be a physical undertaking. But as you know, when you fast, it's not just a physical undertaking. When you fast, Fasting is a spiritual experience because it sharpens your mind spiritually when you begin to fast. And it elevates your consciousness when you are in a state of fasting. The body takes a back seat so that the mind is prepared to receive and function from the level of spirit. So when you are, you know, as John the Baptist, when he was speaking of Jesus, he said, you know what? I must decrease so he can increase. When we are fasting, we are decreasing the energy of the physical realm so that the spiritual realm can come forth. The spiritual realm that can bring us the true nourishment that the soul needs, not just the body, but that the soul and the mind, because we are what? We are spirit, soul, and body, spirit, mind, body beings, right? And but when the body's out of the way and the mind begins to get clear and focused, then the spirit is allowed to take place, to bring everything that is needed in any given moment or time. And so his fasting enabled him to call upon the spiritual energies, his spiritual body, so that he could do this, what seemingly was an impossible task. And even after he finished that, he did an interview for a news thing. He was still going. And he said when he got home, he couldn't sleep. And I was told he was up for several hours before he began that experience. And he was filled with so much energy, he couldn't sleep. He was standing on business. And I like to say that he was inspired and he was strengthened from on high. Because that's not an easy task to do. He was inspired and strengthened from on high. And so when I'm thinking about this, I said, well, not only was he standing on business, but he was standing 10 toes down. 10 toes down. And I love that phrase. You know, this is how the young people say, right? You got to stand on business, but also to be standing 10 toes down. And when you're standing 10 toes down, to me that says you are rooted and you are grounded, you are ready, you are solid, you are prepared. He was like a tree that's planted by the water. And what does it say? It shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, my spirit, my mind, will not be moved off of my purpose, off of my mission. And why is that? Because when a tree is planted by the water, the roots of that tree run deep. And the roots of that tree has access to what? To the water. It has access to the source that gives it nourishment and strength. And so when you find a tree that's planted by the water, that tree is going to be strong. That tree is going to be rooted. So I'm like, I want to be like a tree that's planted by the water. I want to be able to stand 10 toes down, having the soles of my feet connecting to the source, to the earth, and to that water, to the life-giving properties of life, so that I can be strengthened and rooted in my own being. It's powerful, very powerful image. And his activity was a powerful activity. And you know, lately I've been playing with AI and ChatGPT. So I wanted to know, I asked ChatGPT, well, what does the phrase standing on business mean? And this is what it said. The phrase to stand on business typically means to be serious or resolute about one's work or obligations. It suggests a focus on important tasks and responsibilities, often emphasizing a no-nonsense attitude toward achieving goals or dealing with professional matters. And then it says, in some contexts, it may also imply a commitment to maintaining professionalism and integrity in business dealings. So as I read that, I thought, well, you know, the same definition could be applied to our spiritual goals and to our approach to life. Because if we want to manifest a particular goal or a desire or have our prayers answered or to create some kind of effect, we may need to also learn how to stand 10 toes down. We need to be like a tree planted by the water, having our feet, you know, soaking in the substance and sustenance of God, that we may need to be resolute. We may need to be clear and determined and prepared, prepared in consciousness for what it is that we say we want and desire. Sometimes we say we want something and we desire it, but we're not, it's not a strong thought in consciousness. It's a whim. It's a wish. It's a hope. Well, maybe. But if it's something you really want to manifest, your whole consciousness must be different. It must be on point. You've got to be willing to stand on business, the spirit, the business of spirit, right? In order to enact this desire, to manifest this desire. Because sometimes the mind, and very often the mind is filled with all kinds of things, doubt, you know, fear, wishy-washiness, double-mindedness, as opposed to being single-minded, single-eyed, clear, resolute. We'll put something out there and hope that it comes true or whatever, but we don't have that fortitude of thought, the fortitude of commitment and desire to have this thing unfold, to do the spiritual work that will enable it to come into being. And we all experience that from time to time. You know, I've tried fasting on occasion, but, you know, I sometimes let my mind get overcome by the thoughts of food. So I only last a little bit of time. So I admire people who can do a 30-day or 40-day fast. I'm like, okay, that's standing on business. Okay? I hope to maybe when I grow up to be able to get there. But the mind, when we say we want to do something, this is how the egoic mind is so tricky. Because when you say you want to do something or you want to have something, don't you get those monkey mind thoughts that jump up and say, oh, really? Oh, yeah? And just the opposite comes. So instead of being single-minded and single-eyed, we got all this stuff. We're double-minded. We're wishy-washy. All these other thoughts come in, take over, and we're not able to manifest or produce what we desire. And then we wonder why, what happened. I like the way the Apostle James says it in James 1, verse 2 through 8. And this is what it says. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble, and I'm reading first from the New Living Translation, and then I want to read from the King James, but it says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And when your endurance is fully developed, you will perfect and complete. You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So this is about Corey has some endurance going on, right? And then he says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such a person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Now, King James Version puts it this way. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that's a task in and of itself, to find joy about these trials that we might experience. But it says, brothers, count it all joy that you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So the MIL says endurance, but this one says it produces patience, and you're going to need both. Okay? So it says it produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And so I'm thinking, wow, if we're going to pull off great feats in our lives, if we're going to overcome trials and tribulations and challenges, and we all have them, we all have our things that we're working on. Yours might be different from mine, but you have yours. And if we're going to overcome them, we've got to have some endurance and we have to have some patience. And we get that by going to the divine, to God, with what? Complete faith. You can't do it by being double-minded, wishy-washy. I believe it, but this is what the world says. Oh, but did you hear what they said on this show or that show or this one? Oh, my. Nuh-uh. That is going to be, it says, you won't get anything that way, because your consciousness is filled with a bunch of wishy-washy stuff. So when you begin to stand on business spiritually, you recognize that you are standing on solid ground, that you are standing on spiritual principles, truth principles. And what makes something truth with a big T? What makes it truth? We always talk in unity about truth principles. The truth with a big T is something that is unchanging. Something that it is guaranteed, it is assured. And when we talk about the principles and the realities of the divine, of God, of the creator of all that is the universe, it is a sure thing, not a shaky thing. So if we are then standing on spiritual business, then we're standing on solid ground, standing on the truth and all of those spiritual principles and spiritual laws that support the unchanging truth of God. And so that's what we're trying to do, to recognize, what am I standing on? What are you standing on? When the chips are down and you're pressed on all levels, you know, what is it that supports you? Where are you seeking your support from? What is it that's going to strengthen you and allow you to move forward in the midst of all the trials and the difficulties or whatever it is? Are you standing on shaky ground? I've stood on shaky ground before. Are you standing on uncertainty, or are you standing on holy ground? Holy ground. You remember Moses when he went up to have his meet up with God? And Moses went, and before he could go in front of the burning bush, God told him what? He said, you know what, Moses? Take off your shoes. For the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Now I thought, well, why would he want him to take off his shoes? So that the soles of his feet could be touching the sustenance of God in an earthly manner, a physical manner, reminding him that where you are, I am. This is what we say on Sundays, right? Wherever God is, I am. Where you're standing is holy ground, because I'm there. Take off your shoes so you can feel me. Take off your shoes so that your feet can go and be rooted and grounded in the ground of the ground of spirit, the ground of truth, the ground of possibility. Take it off so you can feel that you'd be like a tree that's planted by the water. Take off your shoes. And of course, he did. So when we are moving throughout our lives and things get rough, and they may get a little rough, we may need to take off our shoes, so that we can be rooted and grounded in this truth. Because when you're not grounded, right, or not rooted in spiritual truths or principles or an understanding or an approach, then you're going to be like that wave that James talks about, shaken and moved and tossed. You know, things will be happening that you're so focused on the worldly activity that things will shake you to the core. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've been shaken to my core. And so I'm having to dig deep. I'm having to get my roots about me. I'm having to shore up my understanding of spiritual principles. I have to practice more and more. And in fact, whenever you know this is what we're being called to do, you want to make sure and measure that everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you say, you know, all of your activities, you want to make sure that it is now aligned with truth, that it's in a spiritual alignment, because that's what's going to help you grow some roots. That's what's going to strengthen you up. If you're not rooted and grounded, you're going to be with all this stuff that's coming, right? That is not coming, that is here, because every day is something different. It's something new. And I've learned that, you know what, whatever, I'm going to be fine. We're going to do okay. I have to keep reminding my mom, you know, it's okay. It's okay. We got it. We're going to be fine. We've never been failed. We'll eat. We'll do all we need to do. We got shelter. Don't worry. We can't be shaken to the core where we're so off base. So we have to then become, what is it that is going to help us dig our roots deeply so that we are strong, so that we can not only stand on business and do what seems to be impossible, because it seems to be impossible what he was doing, and to have that much energy, but whatever it is, we stand on the truth and stand on business and standing 10 toes down, we'll be able to do what seemingly is impossible, because we'll be strengthened from on high, nourished from on high, given our marching orders, able to do what is ours to do, to be about our Father's business. When Jesus was a little boy, he was standing on business, even as a young child. When the family had gone over for the Passover celebration, and you know, they were traveling in a caravan, and they were traveling back to their home, leaving Jerusalem, Jesus did not go with them. And it was 3 days into their travel before Mary recognized, well, where is Jesus? And they went looking and asking all the other relatives, is he there with you? Mm-mm. And they were like, stop, we got to go back. So they had to travel 3 days back. And there Mary finds Jesus, what? In the temple, preaching, teaching, all these elders. And so she goes up to him and she's like, son, why would, you know, your father and I were worried about you. Why would you do this to us? And Jesus said, well, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Shut her up. Just like that, ma'am. Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? Jesus was on point and on his purpose for what his business was. Now, we all have business too. We are all here by divine appointment. None of us are here by mistake. There's a mission and a purpose for our lives. Right? We have a purpose for being here. And my purpose may not be like your purpose, and yours might not be like the next one, but everybody has a part to play and a purpose to fulfill, or you would not be here. So the question is, are you standing on your business? Are you doing what God has called you to do? You know, and for these times, maybe it's not going to be that, you know, I'm going to be out there necessarily marching. I'm from the 60s, so I did my marching. You know, I did all of that. So I'm going to have to serve and do it in a different way. But there are many ways to do it. Corey decided to do his in that way. It's a filibuster. You have yours to do. You know, so the thing is, what is it that we are being called to do? To be authentic, to be the best persons that we can be. To be clear of mind and heart and soul and on point, no purpose. No more hiding out. No more sitting back and waiting for somebody else to come and do it and save you. You're your own savior. You got to do this thing. We have to contribute, right? So we have to ask, what can I do to uplift humanity? How can I play my part? Well, I say, look at what your beliefs are. What are your beliefs? Do you know what they are? And are you standing on them? Are you standing on them? And by standing on them, I actually mean, are you acting upon them? Because, you know, it's not just about standing. There's a movement. You stand on your feet, but your feet are designed to take you places. You stand on your feet, but your feet are designed to move you into situations, circumstances, to take action. You know the phrase that says, when you pray, good, but it says, pray and do what? Move your feet. It's nice to be able to sit in the cave and meditate all day. I love it. I go to India, I meditate, but at some point, I got to move my feet. I have to put things into action. Spiritually. Now, some of you may know that I am still undergoing an immunotherapy treatment that I'll be on 2 years. I'll be completing in April the first year of doing it, and I have another year to go. And while it's a wonderful treatment, it's really helping to keep all the C cells, you know, in place and to shrink and all of that good stuff. But sometimes these things, this medication comes with side effects. I go for an infusion every 3 weeks. I have an infusion. And sometimes everybody's side effects is different, right? One of the side effects that I have is that while the medicine is doing great work, it causes lesions on my body. So I have them on my hand. I have them everywhere you can think of. I have them. But I also have a large portion of them on my feet, which is making, because these lesions are, they're painful and they're itchy at the same time. And I have a steroid ointment that I have to, you know, put on everything. But sometimes it makes it difficult to walk or difficult to sleep. I have neuropathy, which is, neuropathy is nerve damage from the chemo in the feet, which means I get shooting pains in my feet and in my legs. Anyway, so, but I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm taking all of the medication that they can give it. There's only so much they can do, and a lot of it is, and these things, these lesions, they don't heal right away, so it could be a long time before it heals. It could be months, could be, you know, years or whatever. The neuropathy could go away, could not go away, whatever. And so I'm doing all the stuff physically. But as a metaphysician, I said, okay, the biggest ones that are a pain for me are on my what? On my feet. What is it that I need to look at spiritually so that I can gain a deeper understanding of how I want to heal and approach this? And so the feet metaphysically represents understanding, your spiritual understanding, because that is what it, you know, your feet, that's what we stand under and upon. But what metaphysically is underneath, what is underneath everything that we do is the Spirit of God, the energy of God. And so I said, there must be something that I need a greater understanding about. Maybe there's something that I need to be standing 10 toes down and I'm not. So what is it? Is it my diet? Do I need to work on that a little bit and give up my noni biscuits with a little chocolate in it? What? Well, I'm, you know, that's it, all right? Because I find a little pleasure in that, but I might have to give that up. What is it? Or maybe it's saying to me that my faith needs to be strengthen my endurance, my patience, my faith. While I'm doing all these things physically they tell me to do, it's like, well, are you standing 10 toes down on your prayer and your meditation and your faith? Is your mind clear and determined and resolute? Or do you have some other thoughts jumping in? What is it? You see, as a metaphysician, you got to look at, I could give it all the physical things. I know what's happened physically, what is happening, but I need to know what is mine to learn and to do what? Spiritually. Spiritually. So I'm saying, okay, I need to up the ante on my spiritual understanding, on my spiritual practice, so that I can be more rooted and grounded in the truth that I know. while I'm doing and taking care of everything in the outer. So this is the thing. You don't abandon what you're supposed to be doing in the outer. But I know that that outer treatment is lovely, but it's the inner treatment that carries that weight and that power. Where do I need to be stronger? What more commitment do I need to make? What are my thoughts, my dreams, my hopes, my fears? What am I holding in my consciousness that need to be cleared up and shored up so that my mind can be sure, strong, and my heart open to spirit so that the spirit has a cleaner, clearer, stronger vessel to move through? What is my inner spiritual work that I must prepare myself to do at this time? And you all can ask the same questions of you. What is the spiritual work that God is asking you to do to prepare yourself so that you can be rooted and grounded and not thrown off course by anything that happens in this outer? We've got to go deep. Get your roots deep. Practice your spiritual practices that you know to be true. Meditate, pray, affirm, watch what comes out of your mouth, watch what lays in your head and heart. Clean that stuff up, catch it when it happens so that again, you can be what? Ooh, like a tree that's planted by the water, rooted and grounded in the truth. So we've got a work to do, but we are equipped to do it. We have the equipment that we need to do it because God is with us and within us and within every situation and circumstance that we might find ourselves in, God is there. Our task is to make sure we connect ourselves with that divine God presence and energy, that we get rooted to that and grounded in that so that we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. So I don't know about you, but I'm standing on business. Are you ready to stand on business? Are you ready to stand 10 toes down? All right, so be it. Namaste and blessings. Namaste and blessings. Blessings, blessings. Thank you, and let's...